Today, as I said at the beginning of Holy Mass, the Church celebrates the feast of St. John Paul II. I don't want to linger too long on his life, but just to say a few words. I'm sure that many of us have been deeply touched by his life and his holiness. I can say of myself, at least, that I would not know Jesus Christ the way that I do if it were not for the holiness of St. John Paul II. What a blessing his papacy was in the life of the Church. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, so much. In a time during the 70s and 80s when there was so much turmoil in the world and even in the life of the Church, God raised up a saint to preside over his holy Church. Why? Because he loves us, brothers and sisters. Because he longed for all of us to come to know Jesus Christ in a deeper way, in the power that comes from his gospel. The Church got into this mindset that was overly focused on itself. And all sorts of agendas were going on in the Church after Vatican II. And St. John Paul II stood as an anchor in the life of the Church, saying, there is only one focal point in the Catholic Church, and that is this man here, Jesus Christ the Lord. He made his life an icon that pointed to Jesus. Everything he said and wrote, every action that he did, was a reminder of Christ, that he and he alone has the center place in Christianity. We are, after all, named Christians, little Christs, anointed ones. And so I encourage you, because there was a special grace given to us in this part of Denver, that the Holy Father celebrated Mass in Cherry Creek State Park in 1993, just down the road, that he came to our part of the city to discover part of his life and his teachings. I recommend to you his encyclical letter on the Holy Eucharist, because it's very accessible and very powerful. Okay, on to the scripture readings. Repay to God what belongs to God. These are the words that Jesus leaves us with in our Holy Gospel this morning. So what belongs to God? What belongs to God? If you're to repay to God what belongs to him, what belongs to him? Let's look back a few verses in the Gospel. The Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus. One of their favorite tactics is to try to corner him. But he sees through it. In fact, I love that line. I don't know if you caught it. It says, knowing their malice, Jesus said to them. You see, Jesus is the knower of hearts. That's one of the titles that Origen gave to our Lord. The knower of hearts. You see, he knows our intentions, and he knew the intentions of the Pharisees. We can hide nothing before the living God. He sees everything, like the all-seeing eye of Sauron, what is it, Sauron in Lord of the Rings? But it's an eye of love. He sees everything. He knows their hearts. So he says, as they're trying to trap him, whose image is on the coin? Caesar's. All right. So if something has Caesar's image on it, it belongs to Caesar. But repay to God what belongs to him. What belongs to God? Or another question we could ask is, what has his image stamped upon it? What has the image of the living God stamped upon it? It's your soul, brothers and sisters, and the soul and body of every single human person in the history of the world. We have been created in his image and likeness. which means that we are made to shine forth like he shines forth. Anybody who knew St. John Paul II knew that there was a glitter in his eyes. There was something in his eyes that you could see that this man was fully alive, that he was a joyful person. I remember when I was 12 years old, and I went in 2002 to spend Holy Week at St. Peter's. And during those beautiful liturgies, I was struck. Because John Paul had been my hero. I'd seen photos of him skiing and hiking. And I thought, this guy is awesome. And when I saw the Holy Father for the first time, my heart sank within me because I thought, here he was in 2002, with 3 years before he died. He had Parkinson's. He couldn't walk. He was drooling. And I thought, how pathetic. And that was my judgment in my heart as a 12-year-old at first. How pathetic. But as I continued to watch the man as he celebrated Mass, all of a sudden, I noticed something. That while his body was decaying, in his eyes was the same beam of light that I had seen in the photo of him from 15 years earlier, when he was healthy and in good shape. Because no matter what, no matter how old he got or how decrepit his body became, Christ was alive for him. And he radiated the joy of Jesus. Because he knew and he lived his life as an image and likeness of God, belonging to God. Brothers and sisters, if you haven't been told this in a while, let me remind you. You are holy. You are holy. Not because of what you do or what you don't do. That's moral perfection, and that's important. But you are holy. Because you are created in the image of God. And through holy baptism, the Lord has washed away the wounds of original sin so that you share in his likeness once again. You are holy. So what do we owe to God? What's owed to God? Obedience. Love. Everything we do should be an act of love towards God. From the moment you came in the church and you dipped your fingers in the holy water, and traced the sign of his cross, to walking to the front of the pew to genuflect. I hope that you didn't just kind of rush into the church, come into your pew and go. Every action should be an action of love as we come before him in his wonderful presence. My God, I love you and I adore you here in the Holy Eucharist. Everything we do should be an offering of love to the one who has loved us with everything he is. Because we belong to him. We are his. We have been made holy. We have been consecrated and set aside by Jesus. Brothers and sisters, do not let the world tell you who you are. They will try to give you your identity. They will try to tell you where you will find happiness. And every single time it will fail. Instead, open wide the doors of your hearts to Christ. He is the only way to happiness. And the secret is, there's nothing you have to do except accept the fact that you belong to him. He's already given you everything. It's like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. Right? He's resentful because his younger brother gets the big feast. And he's thinking, this brother of mine, he screwed up. He took the inheritance, which was way disrespectful to the father. He spent it on prostitutes and loose living. And now we're celebrating? And this, to me, is one of the most powerful lines in the gospel. Where the father says to the older son, "Son, everything I have is already yours." Can you hear that in your heart? Everything I have, the Lord says, is already yours. Because you belong to Him. You just have to learn to surrender and receive. As you come to Holy Communion today, do one simple thing. As you receive Jesus, ask Him for a heart that is capable of receiving everything that He's already given. And ask Our Lady, because she is the model of receptivity. She who pondered all of these things in her heart. Do not be afraid, brothers and sisters. Open wide the doors to Christ.